In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Reinhold Niebuhr's monumental book, The Nature and Destiny of Man, begins with this thought. Humanity has always been our most vexing problem. How shall we think of ourselves? Every affirmation we make about our stature, virtue, or place in the cosmos becomes involved in contradictions when fully analyzed. The obvious fact is that humans are children of nature, subject to its necessities, driven by its impulses. The less obvious fact is that we are spirit. We stand outside of nature, reason, and the world. There is something transcendent about us. We're not quite at home in this world. The book deals with how this contradiction that we are physical and spiritual, that we are part of this world and yet not quite, that we seek another, that we are animals but wanting to be gods. Niebuhr analyzes how this plays out in our lives and in human history with exquisite detail and insight. I read this years ago with David, actually, and one passage stuck out in my mind. It reads something like this. A human with proper shelter and enough food to eat ought to be satisfied. You would think we would be. But we are not. The owner of a great estate wants more land. The wealthy person wants more wealth. The person in power wants more power. He observes that this is not because we are unwise. This is because we are human beings. This is in quotes. The incessant pursuit of an ever-fugitive satisfaction springs from the troubled depths of human nature. The insatiability of human desire means this, that we are made for an infinite good. The insatiability of human desire means this, we are made for an infinite good. I think that that is what our readings today are about. Certainly the passage in James hits this head on and very hard. But I think also the gospel reading and last week's gospel reading is about this. Think about last week when Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Christ. And Jesus begins to teach them that he is going to go to Jerusalem and die and be raised again. And then he starts to talk in different terms. It seems to me that his focus shifts from the crowds, multitudes that have followed him, to the very few disciples that were with him. Think about it as if you had received a diagnosis or knew that you only had a few months left to live. You would focus on the people that you care most about, and you would have the conversations that are most important to you. That is how I read today's gospel meeting. Reading. They are walking from Upper Galilee toward Jerusalem, and Jesus wants to keep it secret. He does not want the crowds to know. And the disciples along the way are talking about who's going to be the greatest. And he asks them, what were you talking about? And they say, nothing. And then he has a come home to Jesus meeting with them. If you haven't heard last week's sermon, hear it. It's about a come home to Jesus meeting. So Jesus has a come home to Jesus meeting with his disciples. And he sits them down and he says, if you want to be great, you must be servant of all. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. This seems to be the theme that he has with the disciples as he heads towards Jerusalem. And it is sort of consummated in a way at the Last Supper, the last night he has with his disciples. And he, instead of being served, he serves them. He takes off his robes, gets down on his knees, and washes his disciples' feet and says, "I have given you an example. You call me Lord, and I am, but I came to serve. Go and do likewise." What all of these passages, I believe, are saying is this: the infinite good that we all seek is not found in getting something. It's found in giving something. It's found in service. Think about that. I think that that is the thing that Jesus wants most of all to get through to his disciples. He's showing us how to find the life that deep down inside we secretly want and crave. The life of an infinite good is not in giving. Getting, it is found in giving. That, to me, is the message of today's gospel service, the message of Jesus' life. It's even something a child can understand. And yet, how hard it is for us to let that sink in, how counterintuitive. I once had an experience of this a couple of years ago. Forgive me, it was so powerful that I tried to write it down. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But it was August, and I'd been cutting the grass at a property that had come to be very painful for me because through basically my own lack of wisdom, I'd entered into an agreement with a friend and lost the friendship, and I was stuck with the property. And it was August, and I was cutting the grass, and I was feeling very angry and mad at myself and sorry for myself, and I was a stinking mess inside and out. At my shop, which is un-air-conditioned, I was 40, I was about to say uneducated, which is un-air-conditioned, we have a saying at the end of the day, at the end of long days in August. We occasionally are known to get what we call the woo. In our shop lingo, the woo is what you get when you walk past somebody and you go, "Woo." I probably had the woo on this August morning after cutting the grass. And inside, I definitely had the woe. The woe is me. I was a mess. I was a stinking, hot, miserable mess. And I had a long grocery list at a Kroger in Carytown that I wasn't that familiar with. And by the time I got to the checkout counter, I had not cooled off much inside or out. There were long lines everywhere, except for one that had two people in front of me, but with very full baskets, two women. I pull up behind them and watch as they slowly check through. The first woman, finally, her basket is all emptied in bags, and I think, okay, I'm gonna live long enough to get through this. I'm trying to do yoga breathing, and it's not working. I'm just trying to calm down. Anyway, then she pulls out a stack of coupons, and we have to go through the whole thing all over again. And the manager has to come because some of them aren't working. Finally, she is done. She waits. These two women are friends. The woman right in front of me turns to me and says, "I'm sorry this has taken so long." And I lie and say, "Don't worry, it's fine. I'm okay." So she gets checking out, and I'm looking at her $150 bill. And when she pulls out a stack of coupons, this bill is going down surprisingly rapidly. I mean, it's going down below 100. Below 75, below 50, and I comment and I say, "Where do you find all of these coupons? I'm kind of interested now. I've never seen anything like this." And she says, well, it takes a lot of time, but I go through all of the newspapers and I spend a lot of time online looking for them. And we come up here from South Boston because this Kroger honors our coupons, all of them. And I said, wow, that's a lot of work. And she said, yeah, my husband is disabled and it helps. And so I pause. She keeps checking the coupons. The price keeps coming down. And I say, what's the disability? And she says, liver. And I lost a friend to liver disease early in my adulthood, and that sort of hits home. So I asked her, is a transplant a possibility? And she says, no. He's also got kidney problems. They can't operate. Finally, she's ready to pay. She pulls out her wallet. And without really thinking, I just say, I've got this. It's not much money at that point. She turns to me and says, you can't do that. And I say, please let me. This would be a gift to me. And it really would. So she does. I pay. And I ask her what her husband's name is. And she says, James. She gives me a hug, sweaty, woeful me, and walks out the door with her friend. And now I'm checking out. And the cashier looks up and says, I do that sometimes too. It feels good, doesn't it? I say, it certainly does. The manager comes back. She thanks me. We've sort of gotten to be tears running down our face at this point. And she says, they're regulars. They come here because we honor their coupons. Then I look up and I notice that the young man bagging my groceries has just the use of one arm. His one arm is limp. And he apologizes for being slow. And at this point, I don't care. I want this minute to last forever. Something has happened to me. The self-absorbed, sweaty, self-pitying guy that doesn't know how good he has it has gone. There's a new guy standing in his place, happy beyond belief, with tears of gratitude on his cheeks, and struck dumb in the slow aisle at Kroger grocery store that hires one-armed baggers, gives coupons to these magnificent women doing the best they can to care for their husbands. I feel like the world has sort of broken open. And I find that I have, that what has happened is I've discovered that there is a river of life. It comes from the throne of God and it flows right through the grocery store line at Kroger. Who knows wherever else it goes. And for a few dollars, I got to taste it. And I am still intoxicated. What must the fountain be like if the spray at the end of the pool, if the taste in Kroger grocery store is that amazing? Think about it. I think Jesus is showing us the way to find the thing that deep down inside we all, most of all, really want. And it's not that complicated. It's just giving instead of getting. Trusting. You heard me. God bless James and his wonderful wife. God help us as your people to find our lives in service to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.